you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, let me lead off by saying this. There's an amazing message that Apostle ministered yesterday, and I encourage everybody to get their hands on it. I guess I can say this about a lot of different messages that I hear, and I guess I'll probably say it again next Sunday. It's probably one of the best messages I've ever heard from him, probably in my life. I'm sure I'm going to say the same thing next Sunday and the Sunday after that, but I really got down to the point, and he was talking this past couple of weeks, and he's been really, he always does, but he's really been ministering to the church about what we should be doing and what our purpose is. Remember that word purpose, everybody say purpose. Remember that word we're going to go to and talk about purpose, but what's the point? You ever thought about that? Like, what's the point? Like, why y'all got to come to ministry school? You know what I'm saying? Like, why, you ever thought about, and I'm not talking from a, I don't want to go over there, not that type of thing. It's just a, well, why do you need to come here to ministry school? Why do you need to, why do we go to church on Sundays and go to church and do a midweek? You know, I know y'all go on Mondays and we go on, like, why we got to do that? Why we got prayer? Like, why do we do that? You know, what's the point? Is it to be, you know, I've been in clubs before. I did 4-H and, you know, Beta, and I did all the clubs in school, Key Club, community outreach and all that. I did all those things, and they were cool. You know, I've been a part of organizations and groups and all that stuff. I don't really need no more socialism. You know, I don't need no more of that. Like, what's the point? And I know a lot of times we, whether it be clergy or whether it be, you know, people in the pew or whether it be ministers, everybody trying to get their needs met too. So sometimes we, you know, we believe that's becoming church. And God is concerned about that. My God should supply all your need. And I know he's concerned about that, but to get the point, like to get to the bare minimum point, I think what's happening is Church Unusual is powerful because I think what's happening is there's been a, I noticed this personally when I study now, and when I study the Word of God now, and then when I study just words in general, words that we've been using for years, but we use out of order. Like I keep saying it every week, like the word currency. You know, if I ask you what currency is, first thing you're gonna say is what? Money, but it's not. The original word for currency was a flow. The root word of currency is current. So that means it's really talking about, well, two things that current really meant. Number one, a flow, and then current affairs meant now affairs, mean what's going on now. So it's a now flow. Currency was only used in 1969. I just started studying this stuff. It started being used in 1969 as referring to money. So that the way we use it right now is not the original way. And so sometimes I wonder, you know, if by thy words thou justify and by thy words thou condemn. Well, if we don't understand what these words mean, could we be condemning ourselves on a regular basis and not even getting the point? If there's power in the word, death and life and the power of the tongue, right? 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 So if I'm not saying it right, if I'm not getting all that getting, get what? And all that getting, get understanding. This is why we come here to class. This is why we study the word. When we come to class, it's really to spark you to further study on a regular basis. It's to spark your hunger. It's to spark your conditioning in the word, where you condition over and over and over and over and over and over again. My son, thou art cleansed through the word of God over and over and over. This book of law is not a part of my, but thou meditate how long? Day and night. Psalms 1 says, in thy law does I meditate day and night. It should be like a tree. Over and over. The Bible, continue in my word. Keep my commandments. Just over and over and over and over. Be a doer. Over and over. He's trying to condition us to the proper way of living and the proper way of thinking and the proper way of functioning. I think that there's overall, I think the enemy has had a field day. I told somebody the other day, and this is a true thing, I think he's done this to the church. I told somebody the other day that the devil's an old fox. Old fox. You add all our ages up together, multiply them times 10, and he's been around longer than that. You know, you don't think that you in your own mind are smarter than him. He's intelligent. Oh, he's an old fox. He's been playing these games for a long time. He met somebody like you before. Oh, he met a few people like you before. Yeah, and then you fooled them all. I mean, we don't hear much about the devil in the Old Testament besides the story about Job. We don't really hear them say much about Satan like a whole lot. If you do some study, you don't hear him say a whole lot about what the devil was doing. We hear about the serpent. We hear about Job. We don't hear a whole lot about what the devil do, but you better believe that joke was behind the scenes throwing rocks. That's what he do. He throw rocks, hide his hand. He'll throw a rock from your direction and make you think you threw it. He's deceptive. And so I think overall, as church, as individuals, as a church, and then as a church corporately, I think we've allowed, and I take it upon the clergy ourselves too over years, but I think we allowed ourselves to be fooled and we've been turned back. Because if I could turn you around, and playing football, you got a guy, you got the wide receiver, you got a guy that's a defensive back that's playing the wide receiver. Now his job is to move, and at a certain time, you got to shuffle his body a certain way to go. The wide receiver, his whole point is to get that DB turned around. If I can get him turned around, then I can get him confused, get him going the wrong way, and he no longer can do what his job was to do. If I get, they call it, it's a terminology, to get him turned around. You get him turned around. Playing basketball, they try to get the man to go the other way. Why? Because if I can get him to go the other way, I can go to the goal and do whatever I want to do. And I think that in a way, the enemy's been hitting us with a crossover. He's been kind of turning us around, and it's been a sleight of hand. You know what sleight of hand is? I'm going to make you pay attention to this hand so I can slap you with this one. You won't even know you're getting slapped. Look right here. Bow. I'm going to look too. You look over there. Bow. And I hit you with this hand. You ain't know what's going on. Sleight of hand, they call it. And the enemy does that because he wants you to look somewhere else other than where you should be looking. He wants your focus to be on something else other than what your focus should be on. And so if my focus is somewhere else than what it should be on, then I'll end up doing something else than what I should be doing. But don't forget this. What you focus on expands. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you focus on, it expands. God gave me a marvelous revelation one day. You know, it says a wide path and a narrow path, right? Right? Well, the narrow path. So we're thinking, many, many people. But if you focus on it, what you focus on does what? So if I focus on the path expanded me while I'm walking across. You know those guys that walk those tight ropes? Those tight walls across the Grand Canyon, all that. Those guys are professional, and they've done that so much to where to them, they feel like they're walking down the sidewalk because they're just so focused on what's going on. So is it possible that as church as a whole, and nobody feel no kind of way. I'm a church boy, so I represent the church too. But is it possible that we've gotten turned around or we've got maybe flipped around? We love God. We do. Absolutely. Y'all too, right? We love God. And we mean to do the best, but you're going to do what you know to do. If you've never been taught to do something, or you've never been shown to do something, or if I've been doing something one way for the longest and never seen on the inside of the way to do that, then sometimes I'll be doing a bunch of things and never make any progress. You ever feel like that before? You ever feel like that before? That you were doing all the right things, but no progress was being made? Well, that makes me consider, am I doing all the right things? You just got to think that way. You should always function and think that way. Am I doing them right? Am I doing them because they're in my heart? Or am I doing them because somebody told me to do them? You got to get a revelation. Everybody say get a revelation. So you got to get a revelation in your heart. I can't get a revelation for you in your heart. You can't get a revelation for anybody else in their heart. You've got to get it. I've got to get it for me. You've got to get it for you. You've got to be open up enough for God to reveal to you the true purpose and plan of your life and your life as the church and your life as a part of the church. So many times I think we've got turned around and out of religion and tradition and man's ideas and many ways that seem right to man. And by so many other things, we've got to flip around. Thank God for apostles. Thank God for government. We had a really good talk today about some things just sitting over lunch. But I thank God for what he's doing. He's restructuring the government and putting everything back in order. Everybody say order. Come on, say order. Putting everything back in order. If it's not in order, what is it? Out of order. Just imagine if your organs inside your body were out of order. They were out of place. Just imagine. It wouldn't function right. They are placed in a certain place for a specific reason to function a certain way. Thank God for the body. God has given us an amazing thing in this body. This body takes a lot of whooping, too. I know my body's taking a lot of whoopings. I need all kind of crazy stuff. I've done all kind of crap and broke limbs and went and tried to play sports that I probably shouldn't have been playing. I did all the kind of crazy stuff, but it just comes back. His body is an amazing thing. It comes back. And the same thing as the body of Christ. And so, but we've got to function. We've got to have everything in place. And we've got to know why we're there. And we've got to know the purpose of it all. So Ephesians 4, and we read it over and over again. And I just enjoy reading it. But we'll start off. We'll start off at verse 11, and you can read the rest of it. We usually go over it, but we'll read it all another time. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, we went over that. Perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, perfection always has to do with purpose. Everybody say purpose. And you need to put that down. I don't want you going around preaching no message talking about ain't nobody perfect. That's craziness. That's foolishness. The Bible talks about herein is our love made perfect. It talks about the perfecting of the saints so much in the Bible. If ain't nobody can be perfect, Jesus wouldn't have told us to be perfect. All right? So when you're dealing with perfection, never forget this. When you're dealing with the word perfect, it's all about purpose. This pen is a perfect pen. Now, it may not be your type of pen. It may not be the color that you want, but it's a perfectly functioning pen. Why? Because when she puts it to that paper, it writes. It may not be your favorite color, but it doesn't matter what your favorite color is. Does the pen work or does it not work? You get it? Y'all get what I'm saying? So everybody say purpose. So when you're dealing with perfection, don't walk around and say, would you expect me to be perfect? Yes. Yes, you should be perfect. What does perfect? Perfect doesn't mean perfect and flawless, two different things. Flawless means there's no, but you'll never be flawless. You say tomato, I say tomato. You say red, I say burgundy. You say pink, I say fuchsia. Right? Right? It's never gonna be, I don't want that too much salt. Give me a little bit more salt, right? Right? It's not sweet enough. It's too sour. Like it's never gonna be. You ever been with people and like if you get a group of people, let's see all of us just go out to eat right now. I guarantee you, they can't just bring one meal for all of us. Somebody can be like, I don't eat this. I don't eat that. I don't want that. And that's cool. That's fine. So you're not going to be flawless. So in my eyes, it's a flawless meal, but you just not flawless because you don't want it like that. But that's fine. But will it fulfill the purpose? Everybody say purpose. It's all perfection deals with purpose. All right? So as now it's talking about the perfecting of the saints. I know we go to maturing. That's maturing. And it's part of maturing, but it's also the purposing. And I don't even know if that's a word, but the purposing of the saints, like making the saints understand purpose so that the saints, that's why we get apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, not for anything else, but for these things to understand it should be leading us in purpose. And for us to for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, God bless you if you're an usher. God bless you if you work security. God bless you if you're in the praise team. God bless all of that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. That ain't really the meat of the work. That's just what you're doing. How long you do that? If you're usher, how long do you usher in a week? Think about it. You got about a good, depending on how long your church service is, you know what I'm saying? You got about a good 2 to 3 hours on Sunday, and maybe if you're on schedule for Wednesday, you got about a good hour and a half. So that's about 4.5 hours in a whole week. If that was just the work of the ministry, then you ain't no worker. You understand that? So it's a whole lot deeper than just the things that we take part in prison ministry and in altar workers. And it's a whole lot deeper. You know, then praise God for those things. And all those things are a part, but it cannot stop there for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, we understand this in order, so there will be no building up of the body of Christ if there's first not been a perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry. Building up means what? What does it mean to build something up? To strengthen it, to add to it. The Bible talks about Acts, talking about they added to the church daily, all right? It's meaning to add to, if you build, you got a pile of dirt, you want to build up a bigger pile of dirt, what you need? More dirt. You got a pile of bricks, you want to build up a bigger pile of bricks, what you need? More bricks. You got a pile of church, and you need a bigger church, what you need? More church. Who make up the church? People. So that means you need more people. You get it? You need more people. So I can't build up the church. Ain't going to be no building or the edifying. We don't need to build this church right now. Word like Christian, we don't need to build it. That's why you in here sitting down right now and being able to walk around here stable. They got doors. When you walked in, you ain't here to worry about the wall shaking. This building is already built. So what is he talking about? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth, how? How? So not just the truth, but the truth in love. may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Verse 16, whom the whole body fitly joined together, and I stopped here last week, and I don't want to get caught up again, but I'll do it again. And joined together and compacted by that. Everybody say by that. By that, which every joint supplies. So we're compacted by that. But what is that? That. What is that? Whatever every joint supplies. So the tightness and the compactness depends on what the joints are supplying. If you haven't supplied pressure, or if you haven't screwed that bolt on there enough, if you haven't screwed it on there tight enough, then it will not be compacted well together because it hadn't been put, the pressure hadn't been put on. And so it'll be loose. Now we want everything, all the screws, all the nuts, everything to be tight on our cars, don't we? We want it to be compactedly supplied, huh? Come on, think about your car. You want everything, every joint supplied. You want compacted by that which every joint supplied. All right. Next part says, according to, what does it mean when it says according to? What does that mean? In your own words. Come on. In your own words. This is how you learn to preach. You get to figure out what this stuff means. What does it mean when you say according to? You got to be able to explain this stuff. Huh? As a result. Right. So another way, and I'm just using my words. This ain't no Webster's definition, but you got to come up with it your own way. See, God going to help you explain things a way that nobody else could explain it. But you got to open up your mind to be able to say things. You just line it up. So I'm thinking according to. I'm thinking it's lined up. If this happens, then this got to happen. It's like lined up with this. If this don't happen, then this won't happen. It's according to this. You get it? So according to the working in the measure of every part. Now it says according to the working of the measure in every part. Make an increase of the body and edify itself in love. Y'all see that? Y'all don't see nothing. Why you ain't say nothing? You ain't see nothing. She saw. Y'all ain't see nothing. Yeah, y'all gonna let me go on to verse 18 and let me keep preaching. I know I did it on purpose, but you just gonna let me go. Look at you. Come on, ministers. Come on. Effectual. Because it makes a difference, don't it? No, according to the working. No. It makes a difference. What is the word before that? Huh? What's the root word of effectual? Effect. That means you're making an effect. The effectual. Like the effectiveness of it. The effectual working. Not just working. That's a possibility that we just working. Ushers, come on. Altar workers, come on. Praise team, come on. Come on, whatever security team, whatever we think we're doing. Could it be that we're just working? But not being effective. I am the type of person, I've always been like this, and I'm still like this today. I cannot stand busy work. You know busy work? You ever heard of busy work? Well, somebody used, the teacher used to give you busy work in school. Just give you work to keep you occupied so you won't be running your mouth in class, and you won't be looking around so they give you busy work. It ain't got nothing to do with the lesson. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. You really don't have to do this, but they call it busy work. They do that in a lot of jobs. They give you busy work because they just don't want you sitting there and relaxing your mind for a second. So they give you busy work. Everybody say busy work. I can't stand busy work. Now, there's two things I can't stand. I can't stand busy work, and I can't stand somebody doing a lot of stuff but not making progress. I can't stand it if you take 4 hours. What were you doing for 4 hours when you could have got it done in two? Why do you have on this paper that you worked 8 hours when you could have got it done in 3.5? Right? That's not effectual. Efficiency means the highest quality of work in the less amount of time. That's what it means to be efficient. Efficient, effective, all that goes together. It means the highest quality, the highest level, or the most possible work at the highest quality and in the least amount of time. That's being efficient. Just being an effective worker. What does that mean? So I compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Then what happens after that? Now remember, we're talking about edifying of the body of Christ in verse 12 too. So now it says it makes increase of the body, edifying itself, building up itself how? Building up itself how? In love. Read the next scripture. Ready to read. In the what? In the vanity of their mind. Remember, we stopped there for a minute last week. In the vanity of their mind. Vanity, root word of vanity, is vain. That means it's all about you. We define vain nowadays. You love yourself. Look at you. Look at you. Love yourself. You love yourself, don't you? Boy, somebody told me, don't you love yourself? You doggone right. I love myself, because how I'm going to love anything else if I can't love the one I'm waking up with and looking in the mirror every day? If I can't love the way I look, then how I'm going to love the way somebody else look, right? If I can't love the way I talk, then how in the world can I love my neighbor? Matthew 22, go. Matthew chapter 22. We allow ourselves, I'm saying that again because we really got to break this stuff down. And I don't know about y'all, and I don't know about y'all, but I've been in church for a long time. Sometimes I overlook things in the Bible, or I don't really read them out like I should, and so I have a lot of assumptions. Well, you know what they say assumptions do, right? You know what they say assuming is, right? I don't have to say it because we at ministry school, but you know what assuming does, right? You know the first letters of assume. Mm-hmm, yeah, and then the next one is you and me. And, okay. So that's what it do every time. And so we tend to assume. And we think that we understand what things mean, but sometimes you really miss the point. So a vanity, vain. So you don't want to be vain. Nobody wants to be vain. You don't want to be vain. Like, all right, we shouldn't be vain. So you don't be vain. So the next thing they say, well, you love yourself, you're vain. And they preach that in church. They preach that in church. Like, they preach it in church. Like, you love yourself. Don't love yourself too much now. No man, right? Come on, tell me the truth. Come on. Do I have any witnesses? Don't love yourself that much now. You need to kill yourself. Don't love yourself. Crucify yourself. Don't love yourself. Not knowing that loving yourself, crucifying yourself, same thing. Humble yourself, but don't you? Because I'm scared. If you love yourself, you're gonna start. I don't know what they're scared of. If you love yourself, you're gonna. I don't know. If we really get to the definition of what love really is, if you love yourself and you're scared, don't love yourself. Get down on them knees. Don't love yourself. Put your head down. Get down. Don't love yourself, huh? Y'all know that message in church. Y'all know that. And so, you know, just don't love yourself. Don't let no man think more highly of himself than he. We put all that together, huh? Scripture really says if you look in italics. And take out the italicized words. I always talk about it. I say it over and over again. If you take them out, it's the words King James added to make it sound more English, although the Hebrew is very direct. If you take out, it says himself is italicized. So if you move it out, it says no man ought to think more highly than he ought to think. That means you shouldn't think more highly about nothing than you ought to think. But when you put that himself in there, now you, I don't think more highly of myself, right? I don't love vain. I don't be vain. The scripture says, Lord. They come and try to, because right before this, he had shut the Sadducees down. So not a Pharisee. He had shut the Sadducees down already. Well, so the Pharisees, when they found out he shut them down, they try to say, all right, we're going to take it up a level. We're going to try to get him now. So he come, the lawyer come running. He come running and says, in verse 36, Master, what is the great commandment of the Lord? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Y'all see that? Verse 39, and the second like unto it. And they didn't ask him for two, they only asked him for one, but he volunteered another. The second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor how? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So love the Lord, everything. Everything you got, love the Lord, everything. But then, and the second one is like to it. It's just like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, vanity begins when you stop sending the love. Vanity starts. This is where you want to know. You want to find out if you're vain. You find out if you're vain if every prayer that you pray is for you. The Bible talks about vain repetition. It's over in Timothy, that thing. He's talking about vain repetition. I tell people when they pray in the Holy Ghost, you can't pray in the Holy Ghost like you want to pray in the Holy Ghost. You can't pray your will in the Holy Ghost. You can't pray what I know. We have things that we need, but if we seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, all these things will be added. But my God shall supply all your need, right? Only one thing is needful. See, God was addressing a lot of things that we get caught up on. So when you begin to pray in the spirit about what you want, you just won't get revelation for you. You just want to know, but there's no thought about anything else. No, what about your neighbor? Man, when the last time you minister to your neighbor? Now listen to me. I'm not talking about the people that live next door to you. Anything. Can I tell you who your neighbor is? You want to know who your neighbor is? Whoever outside of your house. Your house. Like, whoever's outside of that, you my neighbor. Y'all my neighbors. I'm your neighbor. Whoever's outside of where you live, it's where you live, huh? Your spirit is on the inside here, right? You're right? Come on. You listen. Whatever's outside of that is your neighbor. Your neighbor could be sitting on next to you in the bus, sitting next to you in the car, sitting next to you in church, sitting next to you at work. That's your neighbor, though. Love your neighbor as you love yourself now. Now, it becomes vain when you're okay with getting it for you, but you don't want to give it to your neighbor. That's the moment that vanity begins. And the next scripture, I don't have to go back to Ephesians 4, but it starts talking about the next scripture is talking about lasciviousness, and it starts talking about and greediness. Well, greed only, see, this is why people have a tendency to attack churches, attack ministers when they're preaching the word of God on giving and receiving. But you know, the answer to greed is giving. The absolute direct cure to greed is to give. No. The absolute way to find out, most people that are having a problem with the message, they the greedy ones. Because they don't want to give. It's the answer. Giving is the answer to greed. So start talking like this. So giving is the answer to greed. So now the next thing after vanity comes, greed. Right after vanity comes, greed. Right after vanity comes, greed. Now what does greedy mean? What does it mean to be greedy? You're just so greedy. Maybe you're eating food, you're greedy. Look at you, greedy. You don't want to share no biscuits with nobody. You don't want to give it. You're greedy. You want it all for yourself. That's what greed is. Greed is, I want it all. If I could take yours, I would take yours. It's greed. And eventually you get over that if you start off being vain. So the vanity, I'm talking about vanity and ignorance. And we're going to go back to Ephesians 4, but it's talking about vanity and ignorance and greediness. It's talking about all those different things. Vanity begins. I'll tell you if you're vain. If you're vain, if the water stops with you, you're vain. If you come to church and get revelation knowledge and never share it, now I'm not talking about immediately go and try to preach to everybody. Now, you got to catch what I'm saying. I'm talking about be preaching everywhere you go. I'm not saying that if God tell you to preach, you better start preaching. But I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there's something that's being deposited right now. There's something that's being deposited into you for you and somebody else. When you go to church, or when you go hear a message, or when you're reading a book, or when you're praying in the spirit, or when you're asking God to give you a revelation, that's for you. And for somebody, and not just for you and your kids. That's what they say, me and my four and no more. Remember you say that, me and my four and no more. It's not just for you and your household. It's for others. Now, the moment that we do everything we do and we lose sight of others, let me tell you, you want to find out? When you start, I forget that it's for somebody else, I'm vain. Most of the time we think vain people as these stuck up, mean, rude, obnoxious, you know, uppity people. No, we've all been vain. One time or another, nice, smile at you, shake your hand, give you a hug, say nice words to you, be tactful, but still be vain. I wonder how many vain people they got in the church as a whole. Vanity is running rampant. You couldn't tell them that. Because they come to church and they praise the Lord and they got their hands up and they cry when the song hit right. Mm-hmm. Right? And they fall out in the spirit. But you couldn't tell them that. But my thing is, if you come here and you do all these things and you never, the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works in me because I go into my Father. All right? He's not talking about work. We hear work a lot in the Bible. Work a lot. He's not talking about the miracles. The miracles are a product of compassion. The miracles are a product of the love. If there was no love first, there wouldn't be no us. We wouldn't love God because for God so loved the world that he gave. See, that's where it begins. Edifying of itself in love. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's a lot of loving going on, huh? The Bible talking about 1 Corinthians 13, talking about you can do all these different things and have not charity or love. You just sounding brass or tingling. So you can give your body to be burned. You can do all these things. You can sing with the tongues of angels. That'll be a pretty voice, ain't it? But you ain't got no love. You don't sound like nothing. Because the power in the, let me tell you something why you, when you hear somebody minister, you ever hear somebody minister, not being emotional, not everybody gets somebody emotional. We can get up here shouting right now, and I can start saying different little stuff right now and get you in your feelings. I'm not trying to get you in your feelings. I'm talking about a preceding word that touches your heart and makes you be changed forever. When you hear a minister that ministers that type of word, I get there with apostle every time. Every time I hear a minister, you know, the scripture says, did not our heart burn when Jesus came back? We never have we heard a man speak like this. See, the reason that nobody's ever heard a man speak like this, they had the law. They had scriptures. They had theologians. They had preachers. Oh, they got a lot of preachers just like today. A lot of preachers. But the reason nothing changes in what reason people leave touched but not changed, because there's levels to it. It's touched, but it's changed. All right? The surgeon got to touch you to start surgery, but in order to change you, he got to get down in you and start cutting and moving and pulling and adding. Like, it takes all of those things. So sometimes many people are touched, but they're not changed. And the reason that happens is because the power behind the word, the power behind the ministry, the power behind the anointing, the power behind the flow of the Spirit, the power behind the glory is the power of love. If there is no love, then you're an echo. If there is no love, you're just making noise. If there is no love involved, then you're just wasting your time. Now I guarantee you, watch this, do this next time. Next time you go sit up in church and hear a message, I want you to walk in, and you gotta work on yourself, because we don't do this. We don't do this, all right? But I want you to walk in. When you go in, I know you're gonna bring your notepad, and you sit down, and you know, the normal walk into the church is, I'm ready to go into the church, and we say we're gonna serve because we ushers and stuff like that, right? In the first thing, but our normal thing is I'm kind of see what the Lord is trying to say to me today, right? Nothing's wrong with seeing what the Lord is trying to say to you today. But just remember, he's not trying to say it to you. He's trying to say it to y'all. Mm-hmm. Who is y'all? Them people that you're going to meet right after you leave church. Do this. Set yourself up to next time you go in church. Now, I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach you my revelation. Set yourself up next time you go into a service, next class. No, we're going to work on it right now. You can do it in my class. Do it in the next class, all right? Next class, I want you to sit up in the class and figure out and set your mind between the next class. I might stop. Set your mind in between the next class that I'm listening with the intent to hear for somebody else. Guarantee you, listen to me. I found out with my own personal life, Carlton. Listen to me well. When the revelation started pouring and things opened up and got clearer to me, and they just keep coming clearer and clearer, when I stopped being so concerned about how I was going to come out and started thinking about how other people can benefit from what I'm learning. You know what he started doing? He started dropping revelation. I mean, it's almost exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the what? Power that works where? What power you thought there was? You thought that was the anointing, but the anointing can't work without love. What is that power on the inside of you? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well. What is that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? God, right? They all one, right? Well, who is God? Who do they say God is? So that power on the inside of you is so exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the that works. There's another that work again. They go that work word again. That works in you. So you set yourself up. You say, I'm going in here, and I'm going. Now, many times we're afraid to do this, because if I give my all, what am I going to get? If I just go in concerning for other people, what am I going to get? Do you understand that if you were a pipeline and God decided to use you as a pipeline, do you realize that you'll never want for water? Do you realize that? You realize if you allow God to use you, then you'll never want for whatever he's trying to funnel through you. That's why money coming. That's why apostles ain't going to never have no want for nothing, because he's allowing God to use him, and so they ain't never no want because it's just coming on through. Whatever God tell him to do, that's what he gonna do. Whoever God tell him to sow, that's what he gonna do. So there's never a want because I'm letting you use me. Let this, what do you thought it mean when he said, let this mind be in you? Let, allow, yield, let it happen. Stop working towards it and yield to it. It's going, listen, the love of God works. It does. Look at you. Look at you. Look at yourself. Look at you. The love, we are walking around. Somebody talking about people looking for, I'm looking for, listen, you want to look for a miracle? Look in the mirror. You can look right here and see a miracle. The fact that your heart is beating right now with no works of your own and you got up is a miracle in itself. Sometimes we don't be thankful for those things. And so it worked. Listen, the love of God works. Listen, it's working. It's been working your whole life. It's been working since the day you were born. It's been working since before you were born. The word of God works, and it ain't just working for you. But yes, you get benefits from it. Yes, God will drop things off to you. But remember, he's not just dropping off to you for you. I ain't getting enough revelation. Well, it's because you're not ready to share enough revelation. I ain't got enough money. It's because you ain't ready to give enough. I ain't got no friends. It's because you ain't ready to do nothing for nobody else's friends. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, whatever, man. What measure you meet is measured unto you. So sparingly, so bountifully. He not lying. So if I come in prepared to get for somebody else, you think God going to not let you get for yourself? Well, how long have you been taking care of you now? What has he brought you through right now? That was no help of your own. You thought it was because of your tongue, but it was because he loved you. You thought it's because you were such strong. No, it's because he loved you. Faith works by what? Faith works by what? So you thought, oh, I'm so strong in faith? No, it's the love. It's working inside of you. But you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, if it stops with just yourself, you are immediately vain. And now you're defeating, you ever heard the statement, defeating the purpose. Everybody say defeating the purpose. There's another scripture that says, seek you first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is what? God's way of doing things and doing them right. Well, how does God do things? Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. The works that I do shall you do also. And greater works need because I go unto my Father. What is all this doing? What is all this working? What are the works of the Father? What is this doing? What does this mean? What is God's way of doing things? Well, I know one of his ways is give. For God so loved that he. I do know that. I do know that's the one that started all us to be who we are in the first place. The kingdom of God. I don't know, we're looking for some deep thing to tell us how to maneuver through the system and get this revelation that we can preach. No. He ain't thinking about preach. You got an opportunity to preach every day. You always got an opportunity to minister to somebody. Kingdom of God and righteousness and all these will be what? They'll be added, unto you. So all them things, how many of them? No, just some of them, right? Some of them, right? All these things. Now, all these things cover all them things that you done thought about. All them things that you run after and you still hadn't caught it yet. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, we're running, we're working for, but we still ain't caught up with it yet. Yeah, them things right there. Just kingdom. Just get somebody else on your mind. Get somebody else on your mind. And then get somebody else on your mind and you put yourself in the front of God's mind. Another thing the Bible talks about all these things. Another scripture talking about all things. You know that all things scripture? All things. Come on. I'm saying it like this so you ought to, it ought to trigger because I'll be asking people, what? Yeah. I'll be asking people, what the scripture say? They be like, I don't know, start me off. All right, I'm going to start you off. All things, how does it go? For good, huh? Y'all, you know, love Lord. Y'all don't know the scripture? Do you know the scripture? Say the scripture. You better know all the words too. And here's why I say this. Just studying the word in my other class. I living by the book. Sometimes, if you don't know the scripture, it's good to retain. It's good to memorize. God gave you a memory for a reason. It's good to do things. Sometimes I can't grab my Bible, but I need that scripture. But I remember one day God gave me a revelation, and if I wouldn't have known that that word was in that scripture, I'd have missed the whole revelation. Could it be true that God's trying to give us revelation, but we don't know the scriptures? Huh? I got a whole other message for y'all about the inspiration of the Spirit, but I can't go into it right now. But it could be possible that we'll miss a revelation. Boo gobs of revelation. Just flying over here simply because we don't know what the scriptures say. We don't know if it's an and or all right there. So what the scriptures say? All things. All right, come on, let's go to it. Romans. Romans 8 is a powerful, Romans, the book of Romans is a powerful book. But Romans 8 is a powerful chapter. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You take the his out as according to purpose. All right? According to purpose. So all things work together for good for them that love God, for them who are called according to purpose. All right? They go to all things again. Because seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness and all these things. And here we go again. All things work together for good. But for good for who? They go that L word again. God dog. That L word is all over the place in the Bible, boy. We just don't be knowing. And I don't know what we think it is. There you go again. All things work together for good for them that, come on, what is it? Them who are called according to his what? What purpose got to do with it? We just said at the beginning, Claire, what purpose deals with what? What's the word purpose do with? Perfection. All this stuff works together. If you study the word, it'll all go together. I don't know how nobody ain't got nothing to preach. Because it's, if you can't get a message, I don't know what's wrong. Maybe you're not searching right, or maybe you're not receiving for another. But purpose. Everybody say purpose. So now we got purpose and love and all these things. Purpose and love, all these things. Lord told me to read it backwards the other day, and I read it backwards. So for them who are called according to his purpose, for them that love the Lord, all things work together for good. Now, he made me understand it wasn't like for good, like the opposite of bad is good, like good things. No, he was like, for good. Like if I'm done with you for good, what does that mean? Forever, it's done. For good. I put my foot down for good. It ain't never coming up again, right? For good. So them are called according to the purpose. For them that love the Lord, all things work together for good. You'll never have to worry about nothing working out again. You'll never have to worry about things being out of order and things being confused and things not being there and not having enough and wondering if it's really going to work out. All things will work together for good, but you got them other two things that got to be going on. You got to love God and you got to be called according to his purpose. You got to be fulfilling purpose. And what he said is now that they work together, purpose and love. Don't tell me anything about love without purpose being fulfilled. Purpose commands. No. Swift on. Love commands purpose. I love the Lord. Why you ain't doing nothing? I'll show you everybody. I can show you. Listen, if I can follow people around for like a day, a couple of days. If I follow around, I'll show you exactly. And then we come back and take tally at church on Wednesday. No, she don't love God with everything. She's infatuated with him. You know, there's a hairy line between infatuation and love. You know what infatuation is? When you infatuate, a lot of people in life, they're just infatuated about things. And I love him. No, you're really infatuated. Like, you like the idea of God. You like the fact that God got a place for you to stay. You like the fact that God prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You like the fact that you got a protector. You like the fact that you got somebody who can wake you up in the morning and all those different things. You like the fact that you got somebody going to love you no matter what you do. You got somebody going to forgive you of your sins no matter what happened. Oh, I love that idea. That's a great idea. But no. You can be infatuated with God. You like the idea of him. Sound like a cool situation. I prayed a prayer. Ask your son to come live in my heart. Keep it steady until it's over. I can live in paradise. Sound like a good plan, don't it? Sound like a good little situation, don't it? In fact, a lot of people, all right, but if that whole thing is lined up, but it doesn't involve you taking part of the love, like being in love with him, then you're missing the point. This vanity starts right there. I heard a statement the other day, and I read it on somebody's page, and it said, I sang this in this class one time, Lord lift us up. Remember, Lord lift us up where we belong. Remember that song? Lord lift us up where we rise up. We got to rise up. We got to rise up our thinking, rise up our functioning, rise up our effectiveness, rise up what we're doing. And I heard a statement the other day, rise, this powerful thing. It says, never fall in love, my dear. Rise in love. Powerful statement. You know, we talking, fall in love with Jesus. I know it's your jam, mine too. All right. But love is like yeast in that bread. That rising bread to make it rise. Love is the thing that gives the texture to who you are. Love is the thing that puts you on top of every situation. Love is that thing. No, nothing else. Love is, you're praying in tongues, thank you for that. But it's building up yourself on your most holy faith, because that faith works by love. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Remember, when you're doing that, that's what he's working on. Never fall in love, my dear. Rise in love. We got to rise in love, rise in love, rise in love.